Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's been 2 weeks now since the school shooting at a Parkland, Florida high school where 17 people were killed. Many worried that within days, America would have forgotten about yet another stunning loss of life. They said we'd be on to the next tragedy by now. That has not exactly happened. Maybe it's because of the voices of the student survivors. Maybe it's because of the political climate or the fact that these survivors have harnessed the power of social media like never before. They were a community before the shooting. Now they are a community with something to say. High school students in South Dakota are listening, and they're watching the doors and windows of their own schools in a new way. They're talking with their teachers, their parents, their community leaders. They're talking with each other. Brian Maher is superintendent of the Sioux Falls Public School District. It's the largest district in the state with the largest high schools, some with more students in one building than many South Dakota towns have in their entire community. He joined me in the SDPB studios yesterday for an extended conversation about school security, the potential of student walkouts, and the Sentinel program in South Dakota. One note for full disclosure, I have a high school student myself. She serves on the superintendent student forum that Maher discusses during this segment. Here is the first part of our conversation with Superintendent Brian Maher. You've had a lot of these conversations in the past. How is that sort of affecting you as people want to talk to you again and again about mass shootings, school safety, and issues like that?
Oh, Lori, that's such a good question. So my first thought is, how is it affecting me personally? I don't know how to answer that. I know that the incident in Florida, I haven't been affected like that since the incident in Columbine, which was my first as a superintendent of schools. Probably very melancholy, somber. Those are probably the words that I would come up with. Professionally, how has it impacted me? I would say I exercise every opportunity I have to talk to the media on this topic because I think it's important for our entire community. So much of what I talk about is important to our school community, but right. While impactful for the rest of the community, maybe not as interesting to talk about, I think this is impactful to every person in or around Sioux Falls. So I exercise every opportunity I can to speak on this topic.
As we have conversations on this show, we've talked about everything from gun legislation to school culture to God in the school. Somebody was talking about today to mental health. And I find myself just sort of struggling with, you know, every moment am I saying something wrong or unhelpful? Every moment, did I get to the bottom of that? No, I didn't. Who else can we ask? There's a determination, I think, to keep the conversation going. And you're seeing that among your colleagues, too. This feels different in the sense that it feels like we cannot drop this conversation.
You're exactly right. You know, Lori, one of the things I've tried to figure out is there were a number of tragedies between Columbine and Florida. So why was this one so emotionally impactful for me and for others? And I think the biggest reason is because we saw this play out in the lives of kids like we haven't before. Also, I think the student voices since the issue on Valentine's Day, I think those things really make for a time for us to really have deep conversation about a very complex issue. I've got a group of kids that I meet with quarterly called a student advisory group, and one of the things I talked to them about just this morning was about not looking for overly simplistic answers to an incredibly complex problem. And you just highlighted it. I don't remember everything you said, but it was... Right. It was guns. It was God. It was
culture.
It was mental health.
Yeah.
All of those things are so crucial, and I don't think we can talk about one thing. For example, I think a simple place to go is, let's arm our teachers. And I had to really think about my response to that, and my response now is this: I am for safer schools. That's what I'm for. I think so many times when we deal with an issue like this, we figure out what we're against.
Right.
And I think I need to figure out what I'm for. And I'm for safer schools. So what does that mean? I think that means I have to have my mind open to things I didn't have my mind open to before. I've never been open, had my mind opened to metal detectors. I've never had my mind opened to arming somebody other than the school resource officers in our schools. And I don't know that my mind is open to that now, but my mind is at least open to the conversation because I'm for safer schools. What I don't want to do is jump to an action that has unintended consequences. It's a really complex issue. So I want to be mindful of how we approach this topic.
When you listened to those students at the Superintendent Advisory Council, what were some of the themes that you really heard them saying? First of all, they were pretty engaged.
Oh, unbelievably engaged. Yeah. They're always engaged.
Right.
Ironically, we meet four times a year. Our last meeting was in December. Our meeting in December was about school safety.
Right.
In fact, I asked the students this morning how many of you remembered, and only a couple did. Because it's kind of a boring topic until you have a reason to think about why it's so incredibly important. And now we had that. So we revisited the topic this morning. I think there were some themes that are, the one theme that really struck me this morning was that there was no apathy on the topic. Every student here was engaged in this topic. And we look for things to really draw their engagement. I didn't have to look for anything today. And it wasn't fake. It wasn't phony. Nobody was trying to say something because they felt like they needed to. These were kids who were truly engaged. And to me, what that says is they're worried about their environment.
Yeah.
And so they're looking to me. They're looking to other adults to say, make sure we're safe. And along that journey and making sure we're safe, listen to us. Hmm. And so it was an incredibly impactful morning for me.
They see themselves in the footage. They recognize, you know, when those high school students in Parkland took video inside the classroom or in a hallway and posted it online, those kids can recognize their friends. When you see them walking, I remember seeing them walking out of the school and dropping their backpacks, it was just this totally real moment for me as a parent of a high school student.
Right.
To say, I know what her backpack looks like. I know she's going to be stressed out that it's on that pile and she'll never find it again. Mm-hmm. Like, I know exactly how traumatic this is going to be. It felt just that much more real for them, I'm yep. guessing, as well.
Without a doubt. That came up as well, how they didn't see a classroom in Parkland. They saw a classroom that they exist mm-hmm. in. They saw peers, and not necessarily peers in another part of the country, but just peers, kids their age with real life fears that they realize can happen anywhere at any time.
Mm. And they're of the age where they have something to say about it. You know, they're not little kids anymore. They're high school students. They're hatching into adulthood.
Without a doubt. You know, we had a group of eight students that we put in actually in front of our Board of Education here just a few weeks ago and talked to them about a work session topic dealing with facilities. And I had really one strategy for them, and that was to speak from the heart. I'm not going to give you talking points. This isn't about me telling you what to say. This is about you talking to the decision makers. Today was no different. We actually had a local television station come in at the end of the meeting this morning, and I told them, I said, if you are asked to speak, I want you to know, I want your points of view to be on television, not mine. If they want mine, they'll ask me for mine. I think the student voice is often overlooked, but on this particular topic, we've got to make sure that we don't overlook what they have to say.
What were they saying about the Sentinel program? What were they saying about arming teachers?
I don't know if their answer was unanimous because I didn't take a vote and I didn't make anybody stand in opposition to the group. But the comments were very quickly anti-arming teachers. They were very much against the arming of teachers. And it wasn't just a simple surface, we shouldn't do that. It got deeper to teachers aren't trained. What are the unintended consequences? How can we train somebody for the chaos that we saw at Parkland? How can they really get into that environment and train in that environment? Do you think it's a good move to have 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old students know there's a gun in the room? I mean, there were a number of reasons why the students thought we shouldn't arm teachers. And nobody spoke to the position of, we should. I don't know if there were students in the room who just didn't feel comfortable speaking to that position. And I don't know if the feeling was unanimous, because it might have been. I open up the option that either one of those things could be true. Mm. But most of the students spoke to how they thought that would really be a bad idea.
Did they have a compelling, something that they were drawn to as a, for lack of a better word, a solution, but areas that they thought we ought to be talking about this, we ought to be talking about this? Were they pushing it in any, pushing the conversation in a certain direction?
I would say a couple of areas. Number one, safety. We don't know what we want, but we want to be ensured that we can be safe at school. So, and not totally unexpected. One topic that did come up was, what are we doing about mental health? These are from high school kids. Mm. What are we doing about mental health in our schools? What are we doing about mental health in our society? How can we begin to address that issue? And I don't have great answers there. As a society, we don't have great answers there, but that is an issue. My guess is that's an issue in every school shooting.
Right.
Maybe every shooting, I don't know, but certainly every school shooting, that's an issue. They also talked about, asked me my feelings on what would I do. Mm-hmm. And I talked to them about not making the answer of school safety overly simplistic, because it's a complex issue. But I told them if I could only do one thing, it would be to fix the mental health issue.
Right.
I don't suspect that's going to be fixed anytime soon. I told them if I could only do one other thing, it would be to have more school resource officers in our school. And I know folks can point to Parkland and the information that's coming out about potentially some folks not doing the job as we would have wished they did the job. But I can tell you, the school resource officers that we have, mm-hmm. I would trust them with my life. I would trust them with the life of my kids and now my grandkids. Mm-hmm. That's pretty trusting for somebody to do that. We don't have enough of them, but our city does a marvelous job of training them, preparing them, allowing them to be in our schools and helping us keep our schools safe. Many of our schools are small cities. You know, they're bigger. I grew up in Nebraska, and now being a transplant to South Dakota, when you look at Roosevelt with 2,300 students, it's bigger than many of the communities in Nebraska and South Dakota. It's a small city, and we've got thousands of kids there at any one time during the day. So to have a police presence there is very reasonable, and we do. And rather than arming teachers, I'd rather see the armed professionals there. And it isn't simply that they're skilled with a weapon; it's that they're trained in how to observe and see things that aren't ordinary. It's that they're trained in how to handle that weapon in a crazy and chaotic environment that I would say none of us, and maybe I wouldn't be right, but an incredibly small number of us who are in education would be prepared to handle. So if there was one thing I could do between today and tomorrow, that would be the one thing.
The magic wand. Yeah, yeah. But it strikes me as, when we talk about consequences, unintended consequences, and then positive consequences, that those school resource officers are not just armed guards. They're doing so much more in interacting with the students and dealing with conflict and, fights and, any kind of, school crime, that maybe even parking, for all I know. I don't know. Yep. But they do a full range of services that they bring to a school, and there would be more of that
I'm glad you brought that up. One of the things that I've tried to remind people as I've spoken about Parkland in general, but school safety specifically, is school resource officers. We just kind of talk about our SROs and school resource officers, right, and it just rolls off the lips. Those are trained police officers in the Sioux Falls Police Department. Right. Those aren't teachers who became SROs, like teachers become superintendents eventually. Mm-hmm. Those are trained police officers. They're trained in all facets of being a police officer. And you are exactly right. We might think of them when we have an issue and they are the peacemaker and they can have kids go separate ways, or maybe they do intercept a mood-altering substance that we have in school, or a weapon that we have in school, or as simple as the old schoolyard fight that has happened for centuries, all of those things. But what we can't quantify are the number of issues that never happen because of their presence and the relationships that they build with kids, the relationships that they build with teachers, the intelligence that they have from outside of the school that they bring into the school and work with principals and counselors and teachers to address. I wish there was a way to quantify that, because mm-hmm. I think we would say, let's have more of them around. Right. I can only use my professional judgment to say they stop more issues from happening than we could ever imagine.
And they help those kids see a law enforcement officer on a good day.
Right.
Instead of always, the first time you see someone is maybe on your worst day.
Exactly.
So they get to see them in the hallway and just say hi. And that, it changes the perception of police in our communities as well, because that's a community. A large school like you see in Sioux Falls is a community in and of itself.
I remember, Lori, when I was an assistant principal, and I had a veteran principal say, get out of your office, go, mm-hmm. and go meet kids where kids exist, instead of just having them come into your office when they're in trouble, and that's their only interaction with you, and that's your only interaction with them, and it's not a healthy situation. I think that scenario is the same with our police officers. They see kids in the building. They see them in the hallway. They see them in the lunchroom, and they see them when they're not in trouble. And also, kids see police officers when they're just another person doing their job, rather than somebody that is there to handle a bad situation with either them or a family member or a friend. And I just think that relationship building pays dividends far beyond what we can comprehend.
I'm wondering, when you talk to the students at the advisory council, for example, we hear the Florida Parkland students speaking out against or speaking for gun legislation. This is South Dakota, not Florida. So mm-hmm. many of these mm-hmm. kids are growing up, even in Sioux Falls, with an outdoor recreation, a hunting tradition. Did they cling to that as well? Are they being influenced by what they hear in from the Florida kids? Are they bringing that to the table on their own and saying, yes, it's time that we need to look at, where the guns are coming from? Or did that not really rise to the top?
I don't know how to answer that question. I know today there was a pronounced, it was clear that our students were, at least the majority of students were not in favor of more guns in the schools by having teachers, conceal carry. If that thought would have been as pronounced 2 weeks ago versus today, I don't know that answer. Mm. And we didn't talk about that specific issue in December, so I'm not sure how to answer it. Here's my guess, and it's only a guess. My guess is none of them want to do away with the right to bear arms. All of them want to make sure that we're safer in the way that we approach school safety and in general, and the ability to bear arms in schools specifically.